Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. That's our Lord. Oh my. Look back here with me in 2 Samuel. And I want to talk about comfort from God's covenant. Comfort from the covenant. Or comfort of the covenant. You know, I love to find comfort and assurance in God's Word. You know, when you read the Psalms, you can find yourself up and down, in and out. You find yourself in so many ways. But I ought to be able to find comfort and assurance in the Scriptures, God's Word. You know, I was talking to a fellow the other day, and tell him I was a preacher and a pastor here, and I said, I never have, you know, it's not my business to tell people how to live. It's my people to tell people where life is in the Lord Jesus Christ. If a man has Christ, he'll know how to live, don't he? He'll know how to live. He'll live the way God saved him, by grace. That's how he'll live. He'll live by God's preserving power. And so we love to find comfort and assurance in God's Word. And the Holy Spirit often takes the Word and stirs in our hearts and stirs in our souls. And this here that I read this morning is one of those blessed, blessed passages of Holy Scriptures that instructs us and comforts us and strengthens us. May God make it so today. May God make it so today. Now look what David said here. These verse few words carry a lot of weight. Look what he says. Now these be the last words of David. The last words of David. You know, they'll take the last words, the dying words of a man in a court of law or anywhere as being true. As being true. And you look at the last words of so many dying saints, you can find different things talking about what they went through and how they did it. And the words, last words of a dying prophet here is especially memorable. But you got some people's dying last words written in the Bible for us, written in the Scriptures for us. Paul's last words were written in the Scriptures for us. He said, the time of my offering is at hand. My time of my departure is at hand. My time of my departure. That's what he called it. Departing. It's time for me to leave here. Time for me to depart from this flesh that's so heavy and so troublesome and so weary. And go be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Time for me to depart from this world of sin and the sin that dwells in me and leave it all behind. Time for me to go and dwell in that place where nothing but righteousness is. Time for me to leave this world of sight and go to the place where nothing but faith and love dwells. Time for me to do that. And he said, I fought a good fight. Oh, I fought a good fight. And then I kept the faith. I kept that faith that Christ taught me. That faith that God's elect, God's blessed Savior taught me. And I finished my course. That's a man's dying last words. Yeah, I'll tell you who's the most important last words in the Bible are. The last words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it is finished. Now those are dying last words. And that's what David is saying here. These be the last words of David. Wonder what our last words will be. Wonder what I, that's why you ever don't go to bed without saying, I love you. Don't talk on the phone with somebody unless you say, I love you before you hang up. Let the last words that come out of your mouth, in case you don't make it the rest of the day, I love you for the people that you love. I think those would be some wonderful last words to leave behind, wouldn't it? I love you. I love you. And I tell you what, then he goes on to say here, he says, David, the son of Jesse. He come from no remarkable lineage here. His grandmother was Ruth, a Moabitess. His great-grandmother was Rahab, a harlot. Talked about her Wednesday night. And I tell you what, and then it says here, and the man who was raised up on high, God took him from a sheepfold, took him from tending sheep, not even important enough for his dad to call him when Samuel was there to anoint a king over Israel. Wasn't even important enough. His wasn't even important enough to his own daddy. His tending sheep out here on the side of the hill, outside Bethlehem. And then God said, a man who God raised up. Huh? Raised him up. God exalted him. Took him from being a shepherd boy to being the king over Israel. God took our blessed Savior from a manger. And he was king before he got here. He was born king. He lived king. He died king. And he still reigns as king. Huh? Raised him up, exalted him to be a king, called him to be a prophet, gave him an everlasting throne. Our Lord was called the Son of David. Then look what else he said there in verse 1. The anointed of the God of Jacob. The God of Jacob. Oh my, to be the God of Jacob is the God of electing grace, the God of sovereign grace, the God of almighty grace, the anointed of the God of Jacob. God anointed him. He anointed Abraham, anointed Jacob, anointed Isaac. And he says, I was anointed. God put his spirit on me. God called me. God anointed me. God put his Holy Spirit upon me. And the Spirit of God was upon him. Ain't that what he said? And oh, and listen to this. Then he calls himself the sweet psalmist of Israel. He wrote some sweet psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. That's a sweet one. Huh? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Huh? Blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. Oh, here's a man, the sweet psalmist of Israel. Sweet psalmist, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. So I tell you what, he is the sweet psalmist of Israel. And then look what he says there in verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me. You know, God spoke by David. He was called, he was not only a king, but he was also a prophet. And he said, his word was in my mouth. God put his word in his mouth. And the Lord spoke through this man. And you know how many things he spoke through this man? How many times he talked about and referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, this 22nd Psalm? the 18th Psalm, the 110th Psalm, this even some of the things he says here refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke of Christ. That's why our Lord says, why did David, been calling his son, say unto my Lord, set at my right hand until I make thy... Why did my Lord say to my Lord? And I tell you what, the Lord speaks through this man. And he spoke of the Lord Jesus Christ through this man. And God speaks to us through prophets, through his precious word. And he spoke to us, how many times did David, when we read his words, speak to us? And then look what he says. And he that the God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel, see how that's capitalized? That's one of God's titles. The Rock of Israel. The Rock. Rock, you stand on a rock. Water came out of that rock. The Rock of Israel spake to me. And he says this, he that ruleth over men must be just. Well, David failed in that respect. Remember he had Joab killed? Took Joab's wife, I mean not Joab, but Uriah. Had Uriah killed? Took Uriah's wife? So he wasn't just. But the Lord Jesus Christ is just. He rules in the fear of God. He ruled, beloved, all the days of his life with one reason to do it. To bring glory to his Father and whatever his Father gave him to do. He rules justly on this earth right now in every way, in every respect. I'm telling you, he rules, and I tell you, whatever he does is right. Whether he slays one or slays 10,000, he's right. Whether he saves one or saves 10,000, he's right. He's just. And I tell you what, he saved us justly. That's one of the most blessed things that ever happened. You understand that God was just. Stayed just and holy. And yet saved us at the same time. Huh? Oh, Christ is just. And then look what it says. We know he's speaking about Christ here. And he shall be as the light of the morning. David wasn't as the light of the morning. Christ is like the light in the morning. You get up in the morning, the light comes through. That sun shining soft and easy. When the sun rises, and you get up, and it's rained, and it's cloudy, and it's stormy, and you wake up the next morning, a morning without clouds, and all that tender grass starts springing up when the sun shines on it, clear and shiny. As the sun shines on after the rain. Oh. And then, but now, look what he says. Look what a sad, sad confession. I have to say this myself. I know some of you do. Although my house be not so with God. Oh, when David says, although my house be not so with God, he's talking about his children. Talking about the people, his children, his sons and his daughters, his wife. You know, his sons and his children and his wife gave him an incredible amount of great, great grief and heartache and trouble and sorrow. You remember when Michal, David's wife, Saul's daughter, David was dancing in the Spirit of the Lord. And she looked out the window and said, look at that fool showing his nakedness. Made fun of him, hated him, and despised him from that day forward. When David was dancing in the Spirit of the Lord, rejoicing in God. And she said, look at that. She despised him from that day on. David hated the sight of David. And David had a son named Amnon. And Amnon defiled his own sister. Absalom had all of his brothers come to a party. And then he got them in there and he killed 70 of them. So one of David's sons killed lots and lots of his own brothers. You know why he killed him? Because he said, I'm going to take my father's throne. I'm going to throw my father David off his throne. Everybody loves me. I'm big, handsome, strong man. My hair hangs down the middle of my back just as curly and beautiful. And I'll tell you what, he come into Jerusalem with a whole bunch of people behind him. Long live Absalom! Long live Absalom! David had to get up and leave the city of David, leave Jerusalem. And then God killed Absalom. Killed him. And you know what David did? When they come told him the news, he said, what about my son? Said he, as he should be, the king's enemy. And he said, oh Absalom, my son. He mourned for him. So David said, though it not be with my children, so might not be with my household. And then when David said Solomon was going to be the king after him, and he set up Solomon to be on the throne, one of his sons decided, he went over and sat on the throne. Said, I'm going to sit on the throne. Well, he died for that effort. So I tell you what, David, he said, though it not be so in my house. Oh, I've had heartache, I've had grief, I've had sorrow through my wife, through my children. Heartache upon heartache, grief upon grief. And he lived a long time. And he lived to see grief upon grief, trouble upon trouble. Look what he said over in Psalm 131. Look at this. Just one verse of scripture, but I want you to see this. You know, David, you say, I thought you were going to talk about comfort. Well, I'm telling you how David was thinking, what he was feeling here. These is his last words. Though it be not so with my house. Oh, you all that God saved children and God saved them by His grace and brought them to faith in Christ and they rejoiced in Christ and rest in Christ, you ought to get up and bless God every day. Go to bed and bless Him every night. I heard old Scott say one time, if God saves my boys, you'll hear me shout all the way from West Virginia to Tennessee. Heard him say that one time. The Lord saved two of them that I know of. I'm three now. But look what he said here in verse 31. Psalm 132 in verse 1. He said this one thing. Lord, remember David. Called himself by his name. And watch this. And all his afflictions. Oh my. Yet though his house be not so with God, does he get despondent? Does he give up? Does he faint? No. Listen to what he says. Yet. Yet. Oh, that little bitty word. Although my house be not so with God, yet. Yet. He, you know where he finds his comfort at? Not in himself, not in his house, not in his sons, not in his griefs, not in his sorrows, but he hath made with me, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. Now see, brother, this is when the rubber hits the road. He says, he hath made with me. Are you one of those that God hath made with you? Can you put you in there? He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And what he's doing here, he's looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking a lot more about than just his house here right now. And he said, he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And when he talks about an everlasting covenant, he's talking about a perpetual covenant. And why is it perpetual? Why is it everlasting? Because it comes from an everlasting, eternal God. And anything God does is eternal. He can't do anything else but eternal things. He don't even think in terms of eternity. He just thinks he just realizes that time is nothing. Space is nothing. There's no time, no space to him. And he said, God made with me an everlasting covenant. When did he make it? Before David was born. Before he ever existed, before he drew his first breath. He said over in one of the Psalms, I forget where it's at, Dad said, he numbered my members while I was yet in my secret places. In the secret place. He numbered my members. He called all my members. He knew everything about me. My hair, my fingers, my toes, my eyes, everything. And oh my, it's a perpetual covenant. And it comes from an eternal God. And you know a covenant, listen, it has benefits. David said it had benefits. You know, when God makes a covenant, there's benefits to a covenant. And this covenant between the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, there's blessings that go with this covenant. Benefits that go with it. And they're endless, endless to God's dear saints. They'll never, when we get into eternity, it'll still be the same thing. It'll still be based on God's eternal, everlasting covenant. That's what our blessed hope is based upon, on what God promised us in Christ. And so everything that we have, they're endless to us once we're given to them. He said, I give unto them what? Eternal life. Now, how long does eternal last? There was a time I didn't have, now I got it. And I tell you what, some of these benefits are being chosen of God. Whoa, what a benefit for God to choose you in Christ. When? Before the foundation of the world. Huh? Then not only did He choose you, but then He called you. Called you, set you apart, called you. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I tell you what, they hear me and they follow me. When he calls a man's coming. Lazarus come forth, Zacchaeus come down. Bring old Bartimaeus over here to me. When he calls somebody, they're coming. And I tell you, everyone he chose, he calls them. And he calls them by his Spirit. And then after he calls them, you know what he does? Then he preserves them. They persevere, but you know why they persevere? Because he preserves them. Preserved in Christ Jesus. Everybody, you know, it's been a long time since, you know, used to make preserves all the time. And you'd make those things and they's good. But I tell you, this is the best preservation, best preserves it's ever been, when God preserves His people. That's a sweet news, ain't it, Dirk? That's sweet news. And the only reason why I keep on keeping on is because God preserved me.
Amen.
Yeah. He preserved me in Christ, preserved me in the gospel, preserved me in grace, preserves me in the covenant, preserved me from before the foundation of the world and said, this is my elect, my beloved, and I'm going to choose him, I'm going to call him, and then I call him, I'm going to save him, and then I'm going to keep him. And there ain't nothing they can do to make me run him off. Huh? Nothing they can do to make me run him off. I watched a fella here recently run a man off from his house. Pulled up there and he come out and guy popped off to him. He wrenched in the car and jerked him and he said, that guy backed out there. You know, but I tell you, there's nothing we can do. Make God say, get out of here. If that could have happened, that would have happened to me 10,000 times. That would have happened to me. And I tell you, and I'm not only me, but it would you. Because you can't turn your hand into difference for us. Huh? And oh my. And I tell you, it's promises. Not only is this benefits and blessings, endless and perpetual. But His promises in this covenant, they're like God. They're eternal. They're everlasting. He gave us an everlasting righteousness. He gives us an everlasting forgiveness. You know what He said? Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now when He says, I don't remember them, that's everlasting. And then everlasting joy. Look in Isaiah 51. Let's look at Isaiah 51 together here. Look at this. Isaiah 51 in verse 11. Look at this. Everlasting joy. Everlasting peace. That word everlasting, look what it says here in verse 11. Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and listen to this, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. When's that going to happen? When eternity dawns upon us. Huh? Then look what else he said back over here in our text. Now go back over to Samuel. 2 Samuel. Oh, He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. And then look what he said. Ordered in all and sure. Ordered in all. You know, all things in this covenant has been ordered. Ordered. God's a God of order. And all things in this covenant have a time and a place. They have a time to start and a place. Huh? Now, when was the time and place for God to order this covenant? Huh? You know that this covenant started with the Father. Started with the Father. Before there was ever an earth. Before there's ever a sun, a moon, or stars. Before the sons of God ever shouted for joy. Before anything ever happened in this world. In heaven and hell. In heaven and earth. Before anything ever happened. The Father. The Father. He said, I purpose. I've got a purpose. I do everything on purpose. And let me say something right here. People talk about the decrees of God. When you come to talking about decree, there's no decrees. There's one decree. One decree. God declared the end from the beginning. One time He said, this is going to happen. And that's what happens. And so He purposed this covenant. He purposed this covenant. And then the Son of God, His blessed Son, His eternal Son, who had been with Him from everlasting, God's eternal Son, He entered into this covenant with His Father. And His Father said, Son, my beloved Son, this is what I will to do. This is what I purpose to do. I purpose to choose a people after I put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and I know exactly what he's going to do. And I tell you what, when after he falls, he said, I've got a people that I've already chosen. I know every single one of them. As I count the stars that's in the heaven and call them all by their name, it ain't nothing for me to set up a people from all the foundation of the world and name every one of them. Give them all to you. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And they entered into this covenant. And he said, this is the only way in the world I can save these people. And do it according to my righteousness and my holy nature. It's for you, son, to go into that world down there and take upon you flesh like they've got. Become a man like they are without sin. And the only way that can happen is for you to come through the womb of a virgin and for me to be your father. And if you'll go, he said, you know what I'll do? I'll take all their sins and charge you with them. I'll take all their iniquities and lay them on you. I'll see that you're wounded for their transgressions. And when I see the travail of your soul up there on that tree, I'll be satisfied. And you will take your obedience and your righteousness and your love for me, and I'm going to give it to them. You know what our Lord said? Oh, Father, I'll go. I delight to do thy will. Oh, Father, thy will I delight to do. So I tell you, it was ordered. Where was it ordered at? Way, 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 way back yonder. Oh, my. And he came into this world. Oh, my. And he says this. Thou hast given him power over all flesh. Listen to this now. That he should give eternal life to all those thou hast given him. Huh? Oh my. And then you know what we got in him? When God did this for us, do you know what he turned around and gave us everything that Christ had? Gave us Christ himself. Gave us all our spiritual blessings in Christ. Made him to be our head. And when we see him and know him, we understand that all the fullness of God himself dwelt in that body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then you know what the next verse says? Ye are complete in him. And then there was a time and a place for you and for me. How could I know I'm in this covenant? How can I know? Well, God comes to where we are. We can't go where he is. He comes where we are. The 99 safe in the fold. He leaves the 99, goes into the wilderness and finds that lost sheep. You know, here's the difference between people. There's lost sheep and then there's goats. Every lost sheep will be found. If you're a sheep, you're going to be found. You may not know you're a sheep yet, but you'll be found. But never, ever is a goat turned into a sheep. No. He only laid down his life for the sheep. Herein doth I receive my commandment from my Father, that I lay down my life from the sheep. Nobody takes it from me. And I tell you what, you know where the believer's place is in this unworthy people like ourselves, we receive all, everything we do by grace and mercy and the benefits of this blessed covenant. Receive the righteousness of God Himself. We receive the justification of Christ. We receive the forgiveness of all sin. All sin, past, present, and future. David had already done some horrible things, but he lay in his last words, "The Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure." And then he gives us faith to receive all this and believe this and rejoice in this. Oh my. You know what we are? We just stand with hands out and we are receivers of the free grace of God in Christ. Although it be not so with my house, I'm going to freely love them. I'm going to justify them freely. I'm going to give them everything in my Son freely. What do you got to give? Nothing. Nothing. And I tell you, in this everlasting covenant, there's cleansing from the guilt of sin. Let me ask you something. If there is no sin, how can there be any guilt? If there ain't no sin, how can there be any condemnation? If I ain't got no sin, why in the world would I be guilty? What would I be guilty of? Right? Think about that. You ever thought about that? If I ain't got any, then I have no guilt. Where'd it go? There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Huh? Oh, there's joy in this covenant for sorrow of heart. Strength in this covenant for all of our defects and our weaknesses that's in us. And there's immutability in this covenant for the mutability that's in us. You know what mutability is? That means that we just like clay. Oh my. But God said, because I change not, you sons of Jacob, you're not consumed. David, oh what a mutable man he was. And he fell, and he fell grievously. But you know what? God remained faithful to him. Because of the covenant, he said, "He hath made with me before I was." And then it says, not only did he make this, but it's sure. It's sure. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are His. And that word sure means safely laid up and kept. Safely laid up and kept. You know, men have safes. They have safes to keep their valuables in. They have wheels and safe deposit boxes. And they put their valuables in these things like that. Well, God laid up this covenant for us. And it's sure. And He kept it just for us. Our treasures in heaven, they're called the sure mercies of David. And everything is as strong and sure as its foundation. And this covenant has its foundation in God Himself. He is immutable. He's unchanging in His person and in His purpose. It's sure because of Christ. Now let me wind this up. Listen to this. And he says, "This is all my salvation." It's all of it. It's all of it. It's all of it. It's all my salvation. David said, "It's everything. I'm not looking for salvation because I'm a prophet. I'm not looking for salvation because I'm a king. I'm not looking for salvation because I slew Goliath. I'm not looking for salvation because I slew a bear and a kid lion. No, I'm not looking for salvation because of my faithfulness. Oh, with all my failings, I need a sure salvation. Oh, gotta have one that's sure. If it depended on me, it could not possibly be sure. If it depended on my free will, it could not be sure. If it depended on me not sinning, it would not be sure. But if it's of God, and it's ordered, and it's everlasting, and it's sure, then it's all my salvation. That's what makes it sure. And I tell you, in this covenant, we find infinitely, infinitely everything we could possibly need. Life from death, fullness in our wants, security when we're in danger, and peace when we're in trouble. He said, this is all my salvation. And when he says it's all my salvation, it leaves nothing out. Nothing out that we need for our salvation. And then look what he said. And this is all my desire. What else could I possibly want? What else could I desire? Huh? What else could I desire? It restores all I lost. It restores all I can lose. It's full. It's complete. And it's given in this covenant. It leaves nothing, nothing to be desired. Huh? Does it not give you everything you need? Huh? Our Father and the blessed Savior, I thank you for your great abundant mercies, for the everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. This all our salvation, all we desire. And you've fulfilled the desires of our heart in giving us Christ. We could never desire anything more than Him. And Father, we pray that you'd cause this message to be a blessing, to be an encouragement, to be a help, to be a strength to your dear people, wherever they may be, and that are listening. We ask for it in Christ's blessed name. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Look full in His wonder.
See you tonight, God.